Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 10 of Omaha Talks. I am your co-host, Parker Steele, in the house with co-host
Brandon.
And today we are sitting down with Jocelyn Weiser. Say hello, Jocelyn.
Hi.
And Jocelyn, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do?
I am the director of operations for Maven Social, which is a management company. We own and operate three bars, two restaurants, and a salon.
So you're busy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Out of those ventures, what keeps you most busy?
Definitely the bars. It's just always something going on there. Always a new cocktail menu or, yeah.
Well, what?
Always some events.
Which bars are we talking?
We're talking about Berry and Rye.
Yeah.
The Wicked Rabbit. La Colona Rum Club. And then our restaurants are Via Farina, Monarch, which just opened in October, and then the salon is Victor Victoria Salon and Spa.
So which is all about Berry and Rye.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
All cool-ass places.
Yeah.
I ate for the first time at Via Farina this summer, and oh my God, so much fun. Like, went there with a bunch of friends, you know, so just filled the table up with food, and nothing was bad. Like, it was just like, I just wanted to sit there and become morbidly obese, you know, happily, you know,
yeah.
Some good wine.
Yeah, we went there last winter and it was awesome.
So good.
I also went to Berry and Rye last night and, yeah, ridiculously, like, drank, like, four cocktails.
Brandon's feeling a little foggy today.
Those cocktails will get to you, too.
It was the Antoinette. I can't have enough of the Antoinette.
What's in the Antoinette?
It's, like, a maple syrup, like, with whiskey and, like, a blueberry, like, I don't know. I mean, you could probably explain it better.
Yeah,
it's so good, though. It's just, like, it's so smooth and, like, just the best drink
I've
ever had.
Quintessential berry and rye cocktail.
Oh, okay.
So it's got berries and rye.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. I never put that together, surprisingly. But.
It's okay. It took me, Berry and Rye had been open for, like, 3 years and had that cocktail on the menu for 3 years before someone was like, that's the berry and rye cocktail. And I was like, oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
you were busy. Things were flying around.
Like,
totally understandable.
Never put it together.
Do you know, in the past or currently, do you guys have any, like, chartreuse?
Yes.
Cocktails?
Yes.
So dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My friend Andrew loves chartreuse.
I do, too.
Like shit.
It's dangerous, man.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like almost 100 proof.
Yeah.
Maybe?
I think it is.
A little bit more? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's flammable.
Yeah. Yep.
The first time I ever drank green chartreuse was on tour with Rick Rhythm and the Revengers and the Shanks. You've all heard of them. and we were in Detroit playing at the Painted Lady. Great place. And we didn't have any money. And we go in there and we're talking to the bartender. It was a super slow night. People didn't turn out. Yeah. And I mean, there were a few crusties hanging out. But the bartender was just like, hey, you guys don't have very much money. Nobody drinks this here. You know, this was like 10 years ago. He's like,
dust it off.
And he pulls it down and he's like, it's kind of like absinthe. And he does the whole thing with the sugar cube. I think he was just bored.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, these guys should
get
drunk. Yeah.
I believe chartreuse does louche, like absinthe, like where it gets cloudy and.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And he did the whole little show. And we were like, oh my God, this is amazing. So drunk.
One drink?
No. We drank, that was all we drank for the rest. And then we had like beer in the van or whatever. So much so that lead singer guy, whose name shall go unspoken, it was Austin. Yeah. In the middle of the show, he was just like, oh, Detroit sucks. Can't believe we came here. And we were like, oh, no.
Not in Detroit.
Maybe we didn't get
Lincoln, maybe.
We didn't get paid that night and had to, like, race out of town. But anyway, back to Johnson.
We got paid in chartreuse.
We did, yeah.
We got paid in chartreuse.
We did. Probably shouldn't have driven out of the city limits to get to a hotel that night. But we did.
Yeah.
And we made it, and everybody made it out.
Not to, like, stick on Berry and Rye for, like, the whole podcast, but it's so awesome. But the bartender, I don't know if still, but at one point, you guys, like, he won, like, a crazy award in Vegas or something, right?
He's no longer with the company, but yeah, he did. He won, he was in the top 10 of the best bartenders in, think it was in the world. Wow, Bombay yeah. Sapphire does a competition with GQ, and yeah, he made it all the way to Vegas, and
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What's his name?
His name's Luke Edson.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was a very big part of the Berry and Rye. He opened it with us. He was there from day one, and
okay.
Yeah, he left just because he wanted to have more normal hours and
sure.
Yeah.
Totally. Why every bartender quits bartending.
Right.
That's why I quit bartending. Yep. It's like I can't be out this late every day. Yep. I need to be a day walker. One more Berry and Rye story. So the last time I was there, probably a year ago, mm-hmm. hanging out, date night, having a couple delicious cocktails. I can't remember what. And we'll say a rural looking couple came in
mm-hmm.
and they're sitting down and you can just tell. It's like this is not your place.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like you thought it looked cool. But you should have just gone to Old Chicago. And the late, I think they were on a date too. I don't think they were mm-hmm. married, but they were probably like baby boomer age. And she went up to the bar and she was like, I can't see anything. Can you please turn up the lights? And I was like, fucking serious?
No.
So everybody in here that came to this dark bar is going to need to be illuminated, you know? And whoever was, I don't even remember, was very politely like, no. You know, like, sorry. And she went, so then she pulls out her cell phone and she was, like, sitting right across from us and just has this fucking spotlight.
No.
Yeah, just, like, blasting on the man. Well, what's this? Well, what's this? Well, what's this? Well, what's this? Well, maybe you should go. Old Chicago is three blocks right over there. Anyway.
See, and I will say, like, you know, like, we, being in the old market, it's interesting. Like, Berry and Rye was probably one of the... It definitely was the first dedicated craft cocktail bar in Omaha.
Absolutely.
So we knew that was going to be a challenge for us, that we were going to get people in there that didn't know anything that was on that menu.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to get people who requested Jack and Coke, and then we'd have to kind of, you know, move them away from that. We did make our own cola syrup, but, you know, we let them know, like, this isn't going to taste like Coca-Cola. It's going to taste like a house-made cola syrup.
Yeah.
And so it's a kind of fun challenge for us when we get people like that sure. don't necessarily fit in with, you know, what we're doing. They don't really understand what we're doing, but we want to turn them on to what we're doing. Because, you know, like there's something really amazing about having a really great cocktail that you would never normally order. I remember for years, I hated gin.
Mm-hmm.
I hated gin. Like, I was like, it's the worst thing in the world. And the only thing that I had ever had was a gin and tonic.
Right.
And the first time that I had a cocktail of gin was a Negroni. And oh. I fell in love right away.
So good.
Instantly. You know? And
great
so,
summer cocktail.
Totally.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still, like, probably one of my top three, like, go-to cocktails.
For those of you listening, Negroni is... gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth.
Yep.
And then maybe an orange if you want to get, yeah.
Yep. Flamed orange peel. Yeah, if you want to get fancy.
Yep.
You get that little bitter orange on the top, gives it a nice nose to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of our goal, is to, like, make cocktails approachable. So, like, even at Berry and Rye, where we're doing some next level stuff, you know, like, we know that there's a cocktail out there for everyone.
Absolutely.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah. The smoke infused, right? You guys, like, do one where, like, she'll explain it. But have you seen it? They put smoke.
Dude, I've been living in a cave.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, one of our number one cocktails there, it was the Trinidad Smoke. We used a tobacco-infused syrup, and then we would smoke the cocktail with pipe tobacco. We have recently changed that. A lot of things have come out about the safety of tobacco in syrups, and people who don't have a lot of exposure to nicotine can have really adverse effects. So we changed that to I believe it's some sort of chamomile lemon tea,
okay.
But it has a very similar flavor to the tobacco that we were using. So now we call it the tobacco smoke.
Hey.
Yeah, right? We like puns. We use the tea syrup, and then we still smoke it with pipe tobacco, which is not dangerous for people who aren't normally exposed to nicotine. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, when I bartended at Corkscrew Wine and Cheese, and it's a wine bar, but it's not, you know, super fancy. Like, we branded ourselves as, like, the everyman's wine bar, you know, not pretentious. Yep. Like, come in, we'll talk to you, whatever, whatever. And it was frustrating when, because we did attract that rum and coke crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many times I would have arguments with it. And maybe not even arguments, but just, like, these discussions with mostly dudes of, like, no, I don't have Captain Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you have Captain Morgan? Well, because we don't. Because we don't.
Yeah.
What's the Bud Light conversation? I was like, we got Bud Light. And like,
we folded on the Bud Light.
We folded on the Bud Light too at Berry and Rye.
There it is.
Actually. Oh, yeah.
Man, Berry and Rye has Bud Light.
It took us like maybe 2 months until we were like, you know what? We just have to have it.
Yeah.
You know?
You do.
Like, yep, yep.
It was a sad day for us. We were just like, man, forget it. You know, like,
yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
I read a statistic. This has been a few years ago, but I'm sure it still rings true that every other beer bought. So 50% of purchased alcoholic beverages in the United States, Bud Light.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I heard a stand-up comedian. I wish I remembered who it was. Damn it. He said, this is not my joke. I'm not taking credit for this. He said, if a nickel pissed in a bottle, it would taste like Bud Light.
Totally.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And we're drinking
Coors Light right now.
This is different.
Yeah, well,
this is different.
Coors Light is slightly better than Bud Light.
Well, they make it in Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, like this.
The can, like, turns blue when it's cold.
The can,
like,
yeah,
I mean,
there were elk present when this water.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Oh my God. So, Berry and Rye. Let's. What else should we?
House of Loom, so I mean...
Yeah,
let's go there. Let's talk about House of Loom.
Yeah, so I didn't mention House of Loom to start out with because it closed last year after New Year's. So it's been about a year, but that was basically what started all of Maven Social.
Okay.
So I started there in March or April of... That would have been 2012? Yes. It's 2018 right now, right?
Yeah.
So 2012, it was about 6 months after it opened, and that was our, you know, flagship business.
Sure.
And House of Loom was I don't want to say it was a dance club. It was an event space slash bar. So Loom started out as a dance party that was regularly held in Benson at Espana.
Yep.
Which, RIP, I love Espana.
I know.
Never went there.
Out at Rockford
Oh,
now they're by the course.
Yeah, so they have Little Espana over there.
Yeah.
And food is equally as good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they actually announced their closing shortly after we announced that Loom was closing, so it was kind of weird and serendipitous, but... they held regular dance parties. Generally, these dance parties revolved around different areas of our community.
Mm-hmm.
So different ethnicities, different cultures. That was something that we wanted to bring people together on a dance floor. It didn't matter, you know, what race you were, what religion you were. Like, we just wanted to dance. And so the owner of Maven Social, Ethan Bondelid, he saw this and he went to Loom regularly and he was like, we should make a home. Like, we should make an actual home for it. And that's how the name House of Loom came about. We created a home and he was very passionate about craft cocktails. And so that was built into, you know, the bar program there. And yeah, I mean, we've had all sorts of events. We hosted an event for
River City.
Yep, Social for Club. River City Social Club. We've done spoken word. We've done all sorts of different cultural parties. I mean, we've karaoke. We did karaoke every Tuesday. Like, it was a really, really cool space. But it's, you know, like, it's time was up, and we made the decision to close. It was a very heartbreaking decision for all of us. But, you know, we knew that it was time, and, you know, dance clubs have a the fact that we made it 5 years is right. actually like pretty crazy.
Especially in that space, man.
Yeah.
That space is cursed.
Yeah.
It's got
some. Yeah, right?
The old Goofy Foot. Yeah. Yeah. For all you listening, if you never went to House and Loom, it's the old Goofy Foot, whatever the hell it was, the
bones.
Tin place.
Yeah.
Bones. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, fuck it. But I remember Goofy Foot because that's where all of my friends that were still 18 could go in and we could get fucked up. Because, yeah, I mean, like my friend Hannah and. Saber and a few other, you know, they didn't card, so we just would go in there and
I have pictures of me, like, when I was 19 years old that I found, like, years after I started working at House of Loom, and I was like, this looks incredibly familiar. I was like, oh, that's
there
Goofy Foot, yeah.
Man, I always like that place. I like dark bars. I think bars should be dark.
Always.
And I think that,
bright lights, we call them ugly lights.
Like, yeah.
Like, at 2 a.m., you turn up the ugly lights, and then... Everyone.
And then it's like throwing garlic water on a vampire, or you know, like, but I like that, you know, there were couches and it wasn't like a stifled environment, you know, it was just like, it was like this big, dark Dracula. I'm all about vampires today, I guess.
That's
awesome. but that's what it was. You know, it was a fucking catacomb with some sweet drinks.
Yeah.
When, I first went to Goofy Foot, it was so confusing because I was like, okay, dark bar. Vintage couches, all this shit, and there's this jam band just killing it.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why?
what's going on?
I don't think this works, but I love the spot. And then when I actually lived in Little Italy for a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I just lived right up on 10th and William in the Cornish Mansion, whatever.
Yeah. Well,
that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, which wasn't haunted.
I've heard other... I have friends that live there, and they're like, it's totally haunted.
I wanted it to be haunted. I sound like Barry Goldberg. I wanted to bust some ghosts. No, nothing. I never had a single experience. I love that shit. Nothing. But anyway, so when I would walk home from work, I would sometimes stop at Bones and have a drink.
Bones.
And that only happened a few times. Bones couldn't, like, there was one night I was in there just having my shot of beer.
I did Loom, I never did Bones.
Oh,
I skipped that Bones era.
You did a good job.
Yeah. They had some dedicated fans, like,
they sure did.
They did, because we had people that would like carve into our bathroom stalls like, this place sucks, Bones rules, and we'd be like, what?
That's awesome.
yeah no. And, you know, the person that carved that had really bad breath.
Probably.
You know, wasn't a big fan of hygiene.
Because
yep. I'd go in there by myself. I'm no problem drinking alone. I was unwinding. It's after work. I'm going to read my book, have a couple of beers, go home, go to bed, whatever. And there was always one or two guys, characters, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, don't come here. Like, whoa, what are you reading? It's like, I'm not reading anything. I'm talking to you now.
Sparking up a conversation.
You fucking stink.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
What was
yeah.
the place next to it, though? The banana place?
Joe Bananas.
Which is...
Is that
shockingly
still
there, yeah.
Fucking A. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I've never stepped foot in there. That's wild.
Did you? Okay, I did, because I lived up the street. You know, I'd eat there every once in a while.
Eat there? There's food there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, I didn't even know it was a restaurant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
that's weird.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I'm not doing any Yelp reviews, but...
I've eaten there many times. It's fine.
Yeah, it's like, it's
Joe Bananas. Food,
yeah. Have you ever seen the motorcycle gang hang out there?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
thank you.
All the time.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yep.
She, like, yeah, right.
Yep.
Yes.
Friday nights.
Okay,
yep,
so,
during
all
the
right.
summer Friday nights.
Oh, my God. What gang is it?
I have no idea, but there's so many of them.
they like, spill out into the sidewalk,
yep.
into the whole thing.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I love this conversation. So, like, I lived up the street, you know, and I'm younger, so it's, like, skinny jeans and, like, punked out or whatever. You know, whatever. Not crazy, but... And I remember walking to work and being like, oh, God. Like, I gotta walk through this sea of bikers. And I was just like, oh. I mean, I'm like a lamb walking into a den of hungry lions. Yeah, wolves. And I just remember I called Kalina. I called my friend Kalina, and I was just like, hey, just need you to stay on the phone with me, and I'm going to act like I'm real busy and on my way somewhere, and we're going to have a really intense conversation that's not going to be real at all.
Just going somewhere,
yeah,
just weaving through.
Yeah, because I feel like if you look like you have a purpose, and like maybe you're intense about something, like they're probably not. They're going to be like, oh, he's fucking. But if I was just like hands in pockets, like, well, I'm just listening to music in my headphones. Like, no.
Yeah, we didn't... Can we cuss on here?
Oh, yeah.
As much as you want.
We didn't fuck with the bikers. Like, we did not
Like, was it that scary? I mean, usually the bikers, and I guess because I've, like, known the tattoo shop guys and everything, that, like, I never get fucked around with people like that, so...
These were not the friendly type bikers. These were, like, legit, like...
Like old school.
Like, I cook some meth
and,
like,
oh, shit.
Beat some people up before I die here.
Damn.
We did not want to mess with them. Like, if they parked on our sidewalk, we were just like, whatever, like,
go for it.
We don't care. Like,
oh, I love this. Oh, my God.
It was so weird.
You want to use your bathroom? Do you want to, like, here, do you want some money?
And occasionally, like, a few of them would walk in, and generally, they would immediately walk out.
Sure.
They'd be like, oh, this is not the right, not the right place. But, like, I mean, they were generally nice, and they were courteous, and we didn't have any issues with them, but they were terrifying.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so funny. This is validating, because I would tell people this story, you know, I'm like, fucking Joe Bananas, biker place, and they're like, shut up.
Yeah, nope.
No, it isn't.
I honestly
thought it was a Vinket building, like, for the last 15 years I've looked here. No fucking idea that it was even still around.
Yeah. We should go down there and get some nachos sometime.
Alright, yeah.
We're gonna do a live podcast in
Joe Bananas.
I think they do, like, breakfast and shit, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, man, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And what else? What's going on right now? Like, what are you working on right now? What are you looking at on your work schedule?
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I. We have a lot of upcoming projects for 2018. I don't think I can talk specifically about anything right now, but we've got multiple things in the works. That's what kind of keeps my job being really, really exciting, because it's always on to the next thing. It's not always a bar. It's not always a restaurant. So we're constantly learning, and we're constantly growing as a company into these new endeavors. So, right now I'm just kind of trying to keep everything afloat and make sure that all of my managers are good. We're working on Valentine's Day stuff just for the immediate future. Getting our promotions together for that. And
what do you got going on for Valentine's Day? What are you doing?
So at La Colonna, we have it's a two to three person bowl, group drink, called, we just call it an Aphrodite bowl. It has, like, a full name. I'm not going to remember it right now. But we are doing a special on that. So, I don't know exactly how cheap it's going to be, but it's going to be cheaper than normal.
Sure.
And one of the things that we're debuting is the Laka Lonely Hearts Club. So if someone completes a Aphrodite bowl by themselves, they'll get a button that says that, because it's supposed to be a shared drink, but some people finish them on their own and order it on their own.
Lonely drinkers. Get in there and get a button, man. That's cool.
And the buttons are really, really cute, and they're great. We've been talking about this for a year, and we were like, what better of a day to do this than Valentine's Day? You know, we don't want to be, like, you know, exclusive to only couples on Valentine's Day. Similar thing with Wicked Rabbit. We're doing, instead of doing, like, a couples, you know, Valentine's Day, like, this is a great date night spot, we're doing, like, a Candyland kind of theme. So we're going to have a special cocktail menu with a Candyland board. And then people can complete their board, and they'll get a prize if they complete it. So
nice.
Yeah.
Candyland.
Yeah. And then at the Berry and Rye, Elise Schaefer is going to be coming in, Cake
Elise
and Destroy.
Elise
Furtwagner, jeez. This is my sister-in-law, by the way, guys.
Told you.
it's never. Sorry, Elise. Elise Furtwagner is going to be coming in and doing some pastry pairings with cocktails.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. And
so look at all these options you got in Omaha. All kinds of shit going on.
And that's all specifically just for Valentine's Day, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anything at Monarch?
Monarch, I am not sure right now. I'm not sure.
We're a few weeks away.
We're going to be busy just making the best food I've ever
had. We just solidified the other three places just this week. So it's been been busy.
Touch and go.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you were talking about like the menus and stuff, are you actually like creating any of the menu stuff or like,
me personally?
Yeah.
No, no. I'm the person that taste testing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So one thing that I will say about me, like as far as cocktails are concerned, like I've never really been on the creative side. I think I have a really good palette and I'm able to tweak cocktails and things like that, but like actually putting them together has never really been my thing. But I will be the person that's on Photoshop making those menus and,
yeah.
and making sure that they get printed and
you'll
drop
them
that.
Though. You'll make them change it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's all part of the process though, man. If you get a gang of bartenders, mm-hmm. mixologists, you know, whatever, it'll just be a nitpicking in my experience.
Yeah,
you know, like you have to have somebody out there that's just like, this tastes good, but I think it's too sweet.
Yeah, for
done.
Sure.
You know what
yep.
I mean? Like, that's very important.
Yeah.
See, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I like cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to sit down and fuck around? No.
Yeah.
Like, I being a bartender, I would get, like, stocking stuffer gifts of just like, we got you 12 different kinds of bitters. And this weird
exhaustive book.
And, like, all this stuff. Yeah,
great.
And I'm just like, yeah, I'm kind of, you know... I appreciate
yeah,
all of it.
Yeah.
I love it to death, but I don't have like
the
20-year-old
to like
yeah,
spend
yeah.
time and actually yeah.
I enjoy
drinking
booze.
It.
Yeah.
I enjoy drinking it.
Yeah.
I don't. That's just not like I'd rather like make a sandwich.
Yeah, and that's
yeah.
a very you know that's a very common thing. We have a lot of talent within our company as
absolutely.
Far as creating cocktails goes. You know my focus. The second I started working at Loom was kind of, you know, operations. And that's kind of how I ended up where I'm at today. But yeah, cocktail creation, I did a lot of research. I read a lot of books, but it was just never something that I spent a lot of time on.
Yeah.
I let other people do that because they were better at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I recognized, like, I was like, I don't have the skills to do this.
That's
so.
Kind of like, you know, I mentioned before the show started that I used to work at La Buvette,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like working with these chefs and stuff and like, which I appreciated it so much
yeah.
and what they did. And I kind of got into that a little bit, but I'm like, you know, I'm a home cook.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not making souffles or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not
mm-hmm.
braising, lamb shanks on the fly, throwing all this jargon out there. But,
sounds good though.
Yeah, no, it's delicious, but, like, I go home, you know, and it's just like, yeah, I can cook some stuff, but
yeah.
I'm not going to the farmer's market every weekend and going crazy with some, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I do appreciate it very much,
yeah,
so I
absolutely.
Totally get what you're saying, like, it's the same scenario, and God bless them,
yeah.
all you bartending, mixologists, chefs in Omaha, we love you, and we want to have you on this show,
yeah.
so you need to reach out and come be on our show, any of you, we'll have you, So outside of let's have a little open conversation because we like to talk about food.
Yeah.
We'll start with you, Jocelyn. What's your favorite kind of go to place to eat right now? And when I say go to place to eat, I don't mean let's break this down into two.
Okay.
A sit down dinner.
Okay.
And like a carry out situation.
Okay. That's fairly easy. Sit down dinner for me like is always going to be, and this is not one of our companies, but Le Bouillon.
Mm-hmm.
Le Bouillon is one of my absolute favorite go-to places for dinner. My husband and I try to go there as often as we can. Also, M's Pub. Oh, M's Pub. I keep forgetting. Like, we've only been able to go there once or twice, but that was always kind of like our go-to.
Oh, they're back.
Yeah, they're back.
I know,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean,
can't
that,
wait.
That place is amazing. Their
anytime
food is amazing.
I have friends from out of town
mm-hmm.
back in
that's
the day, they'll come every time.
Yep.
Every fucking time.
Yep.
And it was the same reaction every time. Like, oh, what?
I know everyone raves about it. I hate hot dogs, but the carrot hot dog.
Oh, carrot dog.
Seems like weird to me, but.
You know,
it's one of their most popular
yeah.
items.
I've had every salad on the M's Pub salad menu, and the warm duck salad is like my
it's
soul
the best.
Food.
Yeah.
Oh.
I went there with Alex Elliott, Black Johnny Quest. And
yeah,
that
yeah.
was the funnest fucking time I've ever
fucking Black
there.
Johnny Quest. We should get his ass in here, too.
Yeah, you guys should.
Yeah.
You really
should. Try and get Paul Kulik in here, too.
Yeah.
Paul, you listening?
What's up, Paul? Pikuku.
But yeah.
That's what we call him.
Yeah, M's Pub is legit. I never went to Le Bouillon. Where is that at again?
Downtown.
Really? It's actually the old French Cafe, which was above the underground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
No, I heard good things about it. I just never had went.
Yeah.
Still around?
Yeah. So Paul is actually one of our co-owners at Via Farina.
Yes.
So we have a very good relationship with Le Bouillon, and I mean their food's amazing. Paul has very graciously taken me down to the underground to see my old stomping grounds.
Yeah,
Your old haunt.
My
old
haunt.
Will.
Yes,
pay
yes.
Respects.
which was interesting and fun and
did you get a little
weird.
Sad? Was it weird?
It was weird for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say sad. So like one of the weirdest things was like, you know, this was a couple of years ago, but you know, that would have been 4 years after I stopped working there. Some of the signs that I had personally printed and hung up for specials were still like taped to the walls, and I was
shit.
Like, oh, that's weird. Like,
yeah. Did you snag one?
No, I did not.
You shouldn't frame it, put it in your house.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I remember going to just knowing if I went downtown, which is actually rare. I don't know. I'm not an old market guy. I used to live down there, and then after that, I was just like,
yeah, me too.
I'll visit
thing.
It every once in a while.
Yeah.
But, I knew if I went to the underground, I was going to see Jocelyn and the penny beers were always a plus.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. God, we hung out there a lot. But anyway, back on track. So we'll say Le Bouillon.
Yep.
Yeah. M's Pub. We have dual answers.
Yeah.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So a carryout situation.
Oh,
what are you looking
carry
at?
Carryout.
You and
the
family,
live...
like, in a rush, you got to, like, get something. Like...
Yeah. I live in Midtown, Exarban-ish. Three Happiness is like my go-to.
It all
for
tastes
like
the same. Everything tastes the same, but it's good.
And they give you a fucking trough of food.
Right. So we used to, for, you know, like there are three of us at my house, my husband and my daughter, and we used to get a meal for each of us. And after maybe a few times of getting Three Happiness, we were like, let's just condense this down to one meal that we can all share. And then we'll get a bunch of crab rangoon because...
Oh.
Awesome.
So good.
Best.
Their vegetarian menu with the tofu.
That's what I'm saying.
Super good. I mean, I like tofu. I don't have any, we'll eat it normally.
Right.
Nothing against it. But their vegetarian meals with tofu are like some
amazing.
Of the best.
You took the words right out of my mouth, man. I'm not a vegetarian.
Like it's one of where I will go there and I will get the tofu over
every time.
The chicken. Or
that's
the
all I
meals.
Get. I get the fried tofu with the green beans and the black beans
my
in
husband,
it.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God. It's
that's
so
green.
Good.
Yeah, the green.
Yes.
That's me too. Yeah.
God.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's wild. Like they're the best tofu I've ever had.
I just want to tell you guys, we did not have a conversation about this before the show started.
No,
I believe it's maybe an E9 on the menu.
No, yeah. E9 or B9. I don't know.
Look for it. It's good. I think tofu is fucking weird. I don't eat
Agreed.
It in my daily
well,
life,
yeah.
But fried tofu from Three Happiness. Out of this world.
The only issue with tofu that I have is that I cannot cook it for shit. I've tried it. I've bought it.
Really?
Fucking dozens of times.
I've never tried.
Dude, it is hard. I don't know how they do it, but I can't. Yeah,
I
just.
I grew up with a vegetarian, vegan mother, and she used to just, like, take a pan with butter and just tofu, butter, pan. That was it. She would just kind of fry it up in there, and I never ate it, ever.
Yeah.
Did you okay? Whoa! So you grew up with a vegetarian mom.
Uh huh.
Did you eat meat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Were you shamed for that?
No. I mean, maybe a little bit. Like maybe there was a little bit of conversation around like, you know, you're eating a chicken right now, right?
Right.
Like
right.
Jocelyn, that came from a real live chicken.
Right.
Is she still vegetarian?
She still is. Yeah. She goes on and off between the vegan thing. But I don't think she's eaten meat since, I don't know, since
the
I was
Reagan
maybe 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, being a vegan.
I did it for 8 months. I did vegetarian for 8 months and it was it wasn't hard, but I don't know. I think I realized that I accidentally ate shit that I didn't realize.
Sure.
It was, you know,
I mean, it's in everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's fucking hard.
I have nothing against anybody that wants to do it. I think it's noble.
Yeah.
I did try vegetarianism younger, I love meat.
I love meat too.
And I think, you know, it's terrible. I think, like, you should be choosy about what kind of meat you eat.
Pork
and,
is so good.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know.
Carne, you know, like.
God, we're so far off track right now.
I don't
think
there's any kind of pork that I don't like.
Exactly. No, there's not.
Dude, I fucking love pork.
Yeah. I love it. Dude, okay, so Rachel chops. Grace, fucking... our first guest on this show, author of Omaha Food, bigger than me. We used to have this conversation a lot. Like, we'd have drinks at the bar and be like, ah, fucking meat, man. Damn, gross. You know, like, the manufacturing. My grandparents are cattle ranchers, so I've seen it all.
Mm-hmm. And, it is fucked up, but it's really good.
It is, and it is. You know, like, a feedlot and, like an animal that's cooped up its whole life and then it dies. Yeah, that's fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. That's not how it should happen.
Yeah.
But, pork. So, Rachel and I, and she is now a vegetarian, we used to always say, like, well, we could give it up, but what about pork? Because you're talking about
weird.
Bacon,
pork is,
sausage,
yep.
You know, fucking ribs, pulled pork, pork chops.
Pork belly.
If you want to get real fancy. Get out of here. Yeah, I mean, it's so tricky, like, to get that savory,
pork
delicious.
Taco from a taco truck.
Oh.
It's the best.
Little Al Pastor. All right, we're out of control here. I'm getting drunk on food talk. So anyway, all right, carry out.
Well, she said three happiness.
Yeah, three happiness. Yep.
All right, Brandon, sit down, carry out.
So sit down, and totally not planning this because Jocelyn is sitting here, but Missy and I
kissing ass.
Missy and I went to Monarch, and it blew our fucking minds. We've been to New York and Mexico, and we've traveled a lot and over the years, and that. Seriously, like, was an eye-opening experience. We're just like, that was awesome. Like, everything we tried. And we were going a little baller that night. We had a little bit of everything, but it was so good. The cocktails were good. The food was good. The appetizers, like, everything across the board. Like,
hell yeah.
Only once, but we plan on going there for sure. Like,
nice.
Many times.
It's funny that you mentioned travel because, like, a lot of what we've done conceptually, like, for all of our businesses has come from... You know, Ethan and Susan is his wife. She's also our executive vice president. But it's come from their travels. So, like, places, like, you know, the reason that they created Monarch is because they got inspiration from places in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, all over the place.
And
they
why
travel,
not?
Yeah.
You know,
bring it to Omaha.
Right.
Because there's nothing, I mean, for those who haven't been to Monarch, there is nothing like it in Omaha. And we kind of struggled with, like, you know, when Ethan first came up with the concept, like, is this going to do well in Omaha? Like, mm-hmm. obviously these sorts of things do well in bigger cities, but there's a lot more people there. So of course, you know, they're going to get people that, like, that fits into their taste and their style. And I think that's something that Ethan has done really, really well with is, you know, like, there's nothing like this in Omaha, so let's bring it to Omaha. Like, let's do it justice and...
Yeah.
That specific topic, like, you know, Omaha, it's so weird because everyone that lives here is very... I mean, present company and people that we hang out with, I mean, not everyone. There is some closed-minded, like, crazy people out
right.
there. But there is a lot of just, like, worldly, like, educated, just, like, foodie, like, just...
Absolutely,
but,
man.
But, like ramen is new. Pho.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yep.
oh, that type of... Even sushi is, like, weird to people still.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just weird, and I don't know if it's, like, a Midwestern thing or what have you, but, like, Omaha...
I think it's a white thing.
But like,
I do. I mean, I just think it's a scared, middle-class white thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't come in a box.
But it's so weird because Omaha is a melting pot and has all of those,
totally.
Like, amazing... culture and like art and music and what have you, but like not just culinary, but like we're talking about food specifically right now, but I just think that like it's new, but it's been on the coast for fucking 20 years.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's strange to me. So like, yeah, like the Monarch stuff, like the experience that we had there, it was like from our travels, like it's just, yeah, it was like everything you could want, but it's home, you know, it's at home. It's like right there.
Baby steps. You know, you throw this, kind of stuff at people, like this wouldn't have worked 20 years ago.
No,
you know?
Absolutely
like,
not.
Oh,
like,
no.
It's absolutely about people our age, you know, we're in our 30s, whatever, and our folks, you know, like being like, come on, mom and dad, you should come try this pork belly.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
That's it's the wild good, thing. It's like taking you know? My mom just moved to Omaha a couple of years ago and like getting her to try new things. Because sure. they grew up mm-hmm. bringing up Grand Island at least once an episode.
Fucking Grand Island comes up at least one episode. Sorry.
But yeah, I mean, you know, living in this
small Omaha talks about Grand Island.
Grand Island.
Small town, Nebraska. You got steakhouses, mm-hmm. you got your fast food, and pizza joints.
But I mean, you
that's
also
really
got,
like all there is.
I mean, killer Mexican food.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Excellent Vietnamese food and Laotian food in Grand Island. I mean, that, wow. that was my first introduction to it. Because
yeah, but even though it was there and it's good, a lot of people...
Yeah, not... You, mm-hmm. you were the only white kid
oh,
in,
yeah.
in the joint. Yeah.
It's like, I've traveled a little bit. I lived in Seattle. I know what pho is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah right, yeah. right.
Man. But you know, so like, it's been exciting the last, like... 5 years seeing that
totally.
Grow in Omaha. Mm-hmm. I mean, fucking it, ramen literally just came like a year ago.
Isn't that insane?
I
yeah.
Know,
yeah.
And pho, I think, is still underground. When I lived in Seattle, there was like as many pho as there was Starbucks. Like,
sure.
It's all over the place. But here, I mean, a lot of people don't know what it is or like, what is that? Like, I don't want to try it, but it's literally just soup with noodles
yep.
and meat. You know,
yep.
it's nothing to it, but it's so good and like people just don't even know what it is.
I know, man. Like, and I want you to finish answering this question, but when I got married in Colorado, and like the day of my wedding, all the dudes went out for a lunch or whatever, and my brother-in-law, who is very adventurous eater, just had he grew up in West Omaha and
mm-hmm.
didn't really have that experience, but he's ready for it. We went and got pho. I watched this kid's head explode all over the wall. You know, like he's a hunter. He's into like gamey
mm-hmm.
meat and like loves all that stuff.
Raw beef, like
oh,
in the
he, oh bread. My god, he was just like he kept like we kept
shit.
Making eye contact, and he's like, are you kidding me? And now he has eaten at every any restaurant in Omaha
that
offers pho.
That
like
it,
now
yeah.
he's the fucking expert. He's just like, oh, don't go there. He's like, you got to go there, and I'm like, oh Jesus,
yeah, well, that's dude. Awesome.
No,
yeah,
it is good.
You
yeah,
know,
it's
funny like showing my mom sushi, but it's just like, I know you like crab legs. I know you like rice. Sesame
right,
seeds
right.
are on your Burger King burger.
Yep.
Like, it's all that just combined
in
a little.
In a little
it's not fucking weird. I know that there's
yeah.
raw fish sometimes, but you don't have to get it.
You don't have to get
majority,
raw fish.
Yeah, the majority of the shit in Omaha is Americanized cream
sure.
cheese.
You can get the Philly roll.
Bullshit,
yeah.
but,
or the Husker roll.
Cali roll.
Yeah.
I
the Husker roll
like
is
the,
good, though. As much
they're
as
all
that,
good.
Dude, Danny, like my, sorry, Danny, that's my husband's name. He is in love with the Husker roll. Like he likes regular sushi, but like that is like
no
his jam.
Missy too. Like it's like we'll get a bunch of other stuff, but Missy has to get the Husker
get that
roll.
Savory roll.
Yeah,
asparagus steak.
If I am on either coast, all I want to eat is fish, man. I just fucking love fish. Woo! It's
yeah.
the it's so good.
Dude,
I almost said it's the best. It's not the best.
It's not the best, but it is good.
But
pork's
I love
the
fish.
Best. I think we established
yeah,
pork
that
is the
earlier.
Best.
Yeah.
Back to the Church of Pork.
But like crab legs, fucking, you know.
You do love crab
legs. Crab
legs
are dope. They're expensive.
yeah.
Well, on the coast they're not.
Right.
But here you get you know.
So where's your carry out?
Carry out fuck.
I know it's hard, man.
I mean lately, like I just love like Japanese, Vietnamese, Thai, like that. I mean, Thai spice.
Absolutely.
I love Thai spice. I don't think it's... It's the best in specific reasons. Like, I love Salween. That's, I think,
yeah.
more authentic
yep.
and more spicy.
They're a family.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
But Thai spice, I think, just because of location and convenience... I get it once a week. Like,
yeah, that's,
I'm not. Don't
that's
judge
totally
me.
Fine.
Don't judge
that's
me.
Totally fine.
No judgment.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about driving across town to get carry out.
Yeah,
like,
but I fucking yeah, I get that at least once a week, and so much that they like
they're
even
like,
on the phone they're like
up.
Okay, you can get the pad thai.
Yeah,
yeah, extra chicken, no sprouts. You know,
no sprouts,
dude. I like sprouts, but when they're warm, like what. Same thing with like lettuce on a taco and it's warm and
that's
it gets fucking, like,
fucking
gross.
Yeah,
yeah, but
like I feel like the sprouts they just get like wormy and it's just like get the
there was
fuck
a
out
white person
but
like
sprouts
40
are
years
good.
Ago that was like, why don't you put some lettuce on that thing and it'll be good, you know?
Yeah.
And it,
yeah.
like it was just
but
a bad idea.
Sprouts like I love them, but once they're on the like
fair enough.
Something warm, it's just
fair enough.
Do it for
yeah.
me.
Like in a spring roll, you're good.
Kind of
yeah,
wilts
yeah,
a
yeah,
little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once
got when it's there for crunch factor, once it gets slimy, get it out of there.
Right.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I guess like Thai spice is probably my go-to.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
No trepidation. That's all right. I know. Okay, so...
I will say, too, though, Skip the Dishes is a fucking godsend.
That's fucking playing with fire, baby.
Skip the Dishes, even though you do it, like, I mean, shit, with, you know, four people in our house, you spend about $80.
I know.
Yep.
But
you know,
you can get whatever you want. Yeah. You could get Salween, even though it's half across town, and they'll fucking bring it to you.
And now Uber Eats as well. Is in our
And they'll bring you McDonald's,
They will bring you McDonald's. That I think that is the most impressive thing about Uber Eats, is I'm like, I don't want to go get in my car and go through McDonald's drive-thru, so I'll have someone else do it for me. It's great. Like, keeps the economy flowing, right?
It does.
McDonald's is the fucking worst, but you get a couple drinks in you, and it's just like...
so good.
Sometimes you need some fucking McDonald's. Oh, yeah. You know, that's one of the best parts.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never had a McDonald's burger. Ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Can I see your papers, please?
Yeah, right?
Well, no, I feel like I did, obviously, I had it once, and I was like, that shit is the worst.
You never had a Big Mac?
Never had a Big Mac.
Oh, man.
I'm a nugget, dude. Yeah. I'm a nugget. Yeah.
I was for a long time,
too. Oh, see, I love nuggets, too.
Yeah,
I love that nuggets. Chicken
nuggets. McNuggets. Mm. Dude.
Absolutely.
What sauce do you pick?
I was sweet and sour.
Yeah?
The Szechuan, which there's weird fucking... Jesus Christ. Shit, yeah, but that was really good. But sweet and sour is like my go-to, and honey.
Honey,
like,
I'm a honey girl.
Yeah, yep. Honey's good.
I did both of those. I had a barbecue phase, but definitely a nugget guy. You know, one time,
my stepson and wife love honey mustard though. That's
honey mustard's delicious.
Yeah, my husband loves honey
also
mustard.
Also, a good salad dressing, drizzling on there. All right, so I just made a hand motion for everybody listening. So one night, Jeff and I. Our friend Jeff, I went through this like prank calling phase, and it was never to harm anybody or hurt anybody. Yeah,
that's like a high school.
Yeah. Well, you know, these were tame nights. These were Jones Street nights, and one night we were like, man, fuck it, doesn't McDonald's just sound so good? And we've been drinking, so we went and we just got like a ridiculous amount of nuggets, just like a sack of nuggets. Gotta be a better way to say that, but so many nuggets.
That sounded...
So
nuggets,
many.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, and when we were going through the drive thru, and the gal was like, what sauce would you like? And on a dime, I was just like, all of them. I want all of them.
Everything.
I got 100 nuggets here, something ridiculous. Like, give me all of them. Dude, it was a bunch. Yeah, it wasn't 100, but it might have been 50. Jeff will have to corroborate this tonight. Yeah. Ask him. But anyway.
I got a story too.
So we get home, and there are no sauces. And I was just like, son of a bitch. No. We got nothing. So, and there was like ketchup in the fridge, and I was just like, ugh. Oh,
I hate ketchup. I really do hate ketchup.
I hate ketchup.
The smell of
French
it?
French fries, sure.
The smell of it? Get it the fuck out.
Yeah,
it grosses me out, dude. That's it makes
so
me gag.
So here's where the prank call came in. So I guess it really wasn't a prank call. It was more just a complaint in a character. So I called back and was just like, I was this old man. I'm like, I was in your drive-thru earlier. I asked for all the sauces. I was given none of the sauces. It was like a very Curb Your Enthusiasm moment, you know. And they didn't care. There was no customers. Yeah, they were like, forgot. Yeah, they're like, there's people fighting in the parking lot right now. It was like, you know.
Someone just got stabbed.
Yeah,
yeah. Least of our worries.
The one on
40th
and Bowery.
Yeah, on 40, yeah. Oh, my God.
But I don't eat McDonald's that often, but there's this one memory that I have specifically. Like, it was from a year ago, I think. My friend Nick and Elise had just got married, and I was flying. Well, we were all flying to Disney World. As you know, my favorite place on the earth. We were
two places that are always mentioned on this podcast.
Grand Island.
Grand Island.
Disney World.
But we were flying to Disney World the next day. But Missy and the kids were going to go later on in the afternoon. And I had a flight at like 5:30 in the morning or something.
Yeah.
But I just remember going to his wedding and it was open bar, which we had talked earlier that
rough.
Open bar is the
always rough.
Worst. And it was funny because all of his friends and family and everyone else were sitting at the table, but everyone from Mutual in Omaha, where I used to work, we were all just, like, crowded around the bar, just, like, drinking. But, yeah, like, almost close to blackout and just going through the drive-thru and just, like, shoveling McDonald's in our mouth, and then, like, having the worst hangover I've ever had in my entire life.
Because that food just dehydrated you even more. You just ate like a cube of salt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. And then we get home at like 2 in the morning and then I fly out at 5. And I didn't even give a fuck. I spent like $60 on like one of those neck pillows. I just was like, I gotta have a neck pillow. I gotta get some ibuprofen.
I need it right now.
This $10 bottle of water. Like,
yeah.
I'm going in because I'm
going to What was the airline?
I think it's Southwest.
Okay, all right, not the worst. Southwest is solid. It wasn't like a fucking United
or Frontier, dude. Frontier.
I've never flown Frontier.
So Frontier. So from Omaha to Orlando, it is actually super cheap. It's like $120 a person or something, like super cheap. But the seats are literally like lawn chairs. They screwed lawn chairs into like the fucking floor, and then just like it's the most uncomfortable.
I try to do Southwest as much as possible. Free luggage, like check bag, like all of that.
Yeah.
They have most of the places that I go nonstop flights, but I will say this about United. United sucks. Like, there's been a lot of like drama around United. However, if you fly at 5:30 in the morning on United, which I have, you get Stroop waffles. Have you guys ever had a Stroop waffle?
No.
Oh my God. I was introduced to Stroop waffles on United, but it's basically like two pieces of waffle cone with vanilla bean caramel in the middle.
Are they like little like packaged?
It's like the greatest thing in the world.
What the hell is wrong with me? Yeah, I had it the last time.
I didn't know what they were called, but those are good.
Oh my
god.
Like
that's what they give you. Like Southwest, you get some peanuts or some like trail mix or something. Like on United, you get Stroop waffles in the morning. And I
will tell you, and it was actually for this Disney World trip. The company like pays for it, and like credit cards are what I got. I signed up for a Delta credit card to pay for that flight.
Hell yeah!
And they were gonna pay me back, and I'm like, well, whatever, you know, that's mileage and all that bullshit. So, having the Delta credit card, American Express credit card, gets you into their clubs.
Oh,
and the clubs are fucking baller. Yep. Missy and I, when we were coming back from New York, we had like a 5-hour layover. Unlimited drinks.
Where?
Open bar.
Yep.
Any airport.
Well, where were you?
Oh, we were in New York.
Oh, okay.
But a majority, I think Omaha even has one. Mm-hmm. But like their Delta Club, they had soup and like food and sandwiches and like snacks and
they
an
had
open bar.
Soup.
Well, but they had all this shit and it was all free. It was just like, you show them your card, you get in there, and then it's a free for all. Whatever. TV, internet, like, comfy seats.
If you want to sleep. You can sleep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But the open bar, like, Missy, we got to a point, like, the guy, the bartender, is just like, really?
They might not let you on the plane.
Well, I know. It was getting to that point, and I remember us having this conversation. We're just like, you go up. And we went back and forth.
That was my face. You go up.
We went back and forth for like literally 20 minutes on like who was going to get the drink.
Yeah.
We were like 5 or 6 deep and we're like, I could really use one more before we get on.
Right.
And like, yeah, I was just like, and then at a point, like, yeah, 30 minutes of her and I arguing, I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll go up. Right. And then he didn't care. But I was just like, they're probably judging us because we're just, you know.
Like, we just watched that couple deliberate for 15 minutes about who's going. Like, I hope they let him on this plane.
But it was free, and I was just like, I felt bad because I was like, anything, open bar, like, literally, like, anything you want. Like,
dude, that's something that's freaked me out before because I've flown to, for whatever reason, I mean, I love Colorado, but I have been in DIA so many times, and it is like, it's a death trap for anybody that likes to drink, because it's just like, hey, there's a bar, cell phone store, blah, 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 and a bar. And then there's this, and you can get some coffee, and then there's a bar.
There's another bar, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, and there's some New World Order art, and then there's a bar.
The scary thing about Denver, too, is the altitude. So, like, when you fly in, like, your body processes alcohol slightly differently when you're in a higher altitude. So, like...
Badly.
Yes. So you can have... You can have 2 drinks, and it's equivalent to, like, 4 drinks, and you're like, oh, shit. Like, all right, I feel that.
A little tip that you guys might know about, like, flying, too, but, like, Missy and I found out that if you have a Ziploc that's a gallon Ziploc, like one of those big ones,
as many
bottles as you can fit, even if it's bulging, as long as it's in that. Boom, on the plane.
You just handed a loaded weapon to a 5-year-old.
Now they do frown upon it. They no, I'm sure they're the like,
oh yeah, no. Yeah. They definitely
judge away.
Yeah, I'm like,
the
I'm
check
there.
Is in the mail.
No, yep. They totally judge us. And I remember Missy and I were flying to Palm Springs, and I did that, and I had probably like 10 or 12 little bottles in this bag.
Hell yeah.
And it was 9 in the morning, and I'm just like, we got a 3-hour, like, because it got pushed back. We had a layover. I'm like,
well, come on. Yeah, let's
so be honest. What else do you do?
I go to the Godfather's and get, like, a drink and some Sprite and fucking pour some vodka. Yeah.
Like, look at him. Yeah. He's ingenious. I hate him. But you know what? God damn it. Traveling is stressful as hell. Being in airports. Airports are a weird place. And you're tired usually, you know, because you want to be there at a proper time. It's like, God, booze just really lubes that.
When you get laid over into the town that you live in. Like, we had a 6-hour layover, a 4-hour layover when we went to Palm Springs. And it was, I'm like.
So you're hanging out at Epley?
At Epley. And it's just like, what
the
fuck?
Which is like the most boring airport of all airports. It's like,
you can't even look at people because there aren't any.
Yeah.
It's like, I could be at home right now.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I don't want to go through all the shit.
No shit.
You're just stuck there.
And park like, again.
Yeah, so you're just fucking stuck.
Oh my God. Yeah. Damn, that's so funny. Yeah, the last trip I took with some friends, not the last one, but one of the big ones, we went to San Francisco for my bachelor party, right? Because for my bachelor party,
I'm just kidding.
Went to the most masculine city in the United States, thank you, and it was awesome. But the friend that I went with, the guy that bought my tickets, was just like, we're going to start doing shots at 8 in the morning, and he is twice my size. You know, can do that. Mm-hmm. But we get to the point where we're getting on the plane, I'm like, pretty drunk. like, as soon as my head hits this chair.
You're just, like, trying to get through everything.
Oh, dude. Oh, just, like, keep looking at my boarding pass, like, yeah, it's in your left pocket. Chill. It was too much, but I totally had that anxiety where I was just like, oh, God, what if they look at me and they're like, sir... We think you've had a few.
We can smell it.
It's just like, worst that's going to happen is that I drool on the guy sitting next to me. I swear to God, I'm a friendly guy. Nothing going to happen. All right. Enough.
It sounds like traveling with my boss, the owner of the company. Like, he's one of those people that, like, he probably lives off of, like, 2 hours of sleep every night. Mm. And that's okay for him. Like, that's enough for him to function. And speaking of San Francisco, the last time that I traveled with him, we went to San Francisco last summer to research tiki bars because we were about to open La Colora Rum Club. And our flight was at, I think it left at 6:00 in the morning, and I had worked the night previously, so I got maybe 2 hours of sleep. And we started drinking immediately. I think I had a glass of wine while I was, like, getting ready to leave the house. Because I don't like flying. I hate flying.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Lots
I don't like
of anxiety.
Being in airports.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
And so we finally land in San Francisco. I'm probably, like, 5 drinks deep in at this point. And he's like, let's go get coffee. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But then after that, can we, like, go back to the hotel so we can take a nap? And he's like, yeah, sure. We went to probably 3 or 4 different bars. Didn't get back to the hotel until, like, 9 p.m. And then he's like, all right, you guys have, like, a couple hours to, like, you know, refresh, take a shower, like, take a nap. And then we're going back out, and I'm like, I do not have the stamina for this.
I'm
the can't same do way. It.
I'm like, I just need a 3-hour stretch, watch a little TV.
Yeah.
Turn the TV on, maybe take a shower.
Yeah.
You know, snooze it up a little bit, and then we'll go back out. Oh my
like,
God.
Like, by the end of the day, I felt like my entire body was just throbbing. Like, I was like, I'm so tired. I mean, my head seriously felt like it was going to explode. Like, I didn't even, like, drink that much, but, like, after we had landed, like, I was like, I'm too tired, like, I can't do this. And
because it's not fun, like, it's
yeah,
like, yeah,
when you're that
good.
Tired,
you don't want to get boozed up when you're, like, falling asleep. It's the worst.
Nope.
I don't know. Where did you stay in San Francisco?
Area? Tenderloin.
Yeah.
Oh,
me too.
So bad.
That's
so,
where we stayed.
Yeah, everyone was like oh, San Francisco's amazing. And, like, I mean, I had some definite culture shock.
Like people smoking crack on the street.
Yes, and when you're walking down the street, like, and it, I mean, it's truly a, like, horrible, sad situation, because I mean the the homelessness epidemic in San Francisco is really, really awful.
And they're pinching them.
Yep, yep. And so, you know, like, we're, you know, I walk out of the hotel, and our hotel was nice. Like, the actual, like, interior of it was really, really nice. It was called the Bijou.
Okay, we stayed at the Hanoveria. Yeah. It would be the same place. But yeah.
It was nice. It was clean. And it was pretty inexpensive, because San Francisco is very, very expensive.
Holy shit. Like, super New York expensive.
Yes.
The worst, I think.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, I think it might be worse than New York. And, yeah, I mean, it was weird. Like, you know, you walk down the street and, like, I mean, it smells awful, and you don't know what you're walking in, and I mean,
it's likely piss.
Probably, yeah. And it's truly, truly sad, but, you know, like, when you get into the more, like, bougie areas of San Francisco, beautiful place.
Oh, my God.
But I honestly don't want to go back. Like, I'm like, I don't get the appeal, I guess.
I have the same kind of thing. Like, I want to go back there with my wife, mm-hmm. but, like, I'm like, we are not going to stay in the Timberline.
No.
Like,
no.
We're going to find a place in, like, Salcedo or somewhere, yeah, you know, like, yeah. somewhere totally bougie. Because yeah. we, like, and same thing. Like, the hotel we stayed at was not yeah. gnarly. Like, yeah. it was really nice. But we're, okay, so you take the train from the airport, and we go in, and we're like, oh, we're in San Francisco, boys, yeah. And we're walking up, and the first, I swear to God, the first thing we see is this dude. I don't even remember if he was wearing shoes. Like, he was barely wearing clothes, but he had a hoodie on. And he's looking around, and we're standing right in front of him.
Uh-huh.
And he's looking around, doesn't see us, and just, like, starts smoking crack, right? And we were like, you're oh, like, welcome okay. to San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, well, at least our hotel's a ways away from here. And I was like, nah, uh-huh. it's like three blocks up. Like, no, it's very close
to San Francisco. But, like, when I lived in Seattle, I got this apartment because I didn't know anyone, really, and I moved there and got this apartment. It was close to work, and it was more out of a convenience thing, like, location-wise.
Absolutely.
Little did I know that literally a block away was a methadone clinic.
Oh, shit.
And across the street was where all the homeless people, like, slept. Right. And it was the wildest shit. And I had my grandma and mom come visit me, and oh, my God.
Oh, God. Your grandma?
My mom and my grandma. All these fucking methed out fucking crazies, just like.
What was grandma's reaction? Was she scared?
No, I mean,
for you, I mean, not like.
Oh, for me, yeah, she was like definitely like. I mean, they were fine, like, in the midst of it, and we usually were out during the day, and, you know, those methadone clinic people are usually gone by the time we were doing the actual right activities.
They're out doing real dope.
But yeah, I'm sure she was concerned for me, but.
Oh man, it's so funny, and I'd like to think that. To people listening, we're not three uncultured goons in here.
No,
like, this
no.
isn't, it's not like, it's not like this was culture shock for the first time, mm-hmm. but it is a little bit like, oh, yeah. all right.
Well, you know, and then like, I lived there for a year, so then it became like just,
right.
like,
yeah,
what the fuck? It doesn't matter. But,
and you're like, hey, Jerry.
But yeah, but like, can I get a hit of that? Like, yeah. No, but it's just like, it's one of those things where, like, when it's culture shock.
It is culture
like, it's
shock.
Fucking
yeah.
wild when you see that shit. You're like, oh, that's like an everyday occurrence.
Yeah.
And yeah.
My friend Ben had a panic attack, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. Because the homeless people thing, like, and they are aggressive in San Francisco.
Yeah,
did you experience, like,
yeah,
it is.
Especially
yeah,
being, like, being a woman, like,
totally.
You know, like, I was, there were often, I'm a smoker, so, like, oftentimes I would go outside of the hotel and smoke, and I'd maybe get, like, two drags in before, like, I seriously had people harassing me, like,
right, for a second.
Like, my being friend, very aggressive.
My friend was smoking a cigarette outside of my apartment, and they seriously went in his face, like, give me that cigarette.
Yeah, yeah.
And ripped it out of his mouth and just walked upon their way. And just went upon their way.
Yeah, it was
so
wild.
So our friend Ben, he doesn't smoke anymore. He's quit since.
Ben Allen?
No. Like, Ben Van Hoolen.
And this is why he doesn't smoke anymore.
It may have contributed. He was outside smoking a cigarette, and this really tiny woman was so angry and was like, and was just like aggressive. Was
yeah.
just like, get a cigarette, and like I watched the color leave his face. He's not a panicky guy,
yeah.
you know. And he was just like, oh, like it was like,
it's
like, did you give her?
Do you mean a lighter
wallet? Yeah, no, I think he did, dude. Yeah. I think he did light the cigarette.
That's funny.
When he gets done, I was like, Jesus. Like, we went to a bar or whatever, and he was still, like, really quiet and shook up. And I was like, are you all right? And he's like, oh, I just have a full-on anxiety panic attack. That freaked me out. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, my whole first day in San Francisco, I was just, like, incredibly anxious. Like, the second that we got off the BART, someone threw a, like, Coke bottle at our heads, like, and that was like my introduction to San Francisco. I was like,
yeah,
I want to go home, right? Like, I want to go home right now. Like, but we got to go to some really cool places there, and
it is a cool town.
It's a cool
town. No hate on you, San Francisco.
No,
you're cool as shit. You're super cool.
I have a lot of friends who live in San Francisco. I got to eat lunch at Dropbox headquarters, which, like, I'm a hardcore Dropbox person, so like, that was like, I kind of fangirl a little bit. Like, I was like, oh, that's neat.
So, yeah. When, and this has nothing to do with San Francisco, but when I went to New York, I was there for a conference, and I got to eat at Dropbox, but I was at this conference, and they had the same fucking food every day at the stops that we were at, and it was the worst, it was like just gerbil food.
Because they were like, they're from Nebraska, just give them some fucking gerbil food, they'll be fine.
They'll be okay. Yeah. They don't know anything about food,
to be fair, though, were the people around you like, oh God, they get us this again?
Yeah, no, people were pissed off.
Oh, they were pissed off. Okay, good, like, good.
Fuck, we just had this yesterday. Yeah, it's like, the same thing.
What was it, like wheat thins and hummus or something?
No, it was just like, I can't even describe it. It was just like, just some garbage. Yeah,
that's so funny. Like, I mean, like, I think about
as we were watching the people that worked there eat like really good food.
I mean, they feed their staff. Like, you have options. Like, it's not just like a few options. It's like, you're at like, do you guys remember what was the Old Country Buffet or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like that, but like the food's actually really, really good. You know, so you have your options and you're like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know where to start. They've just got free Red Bulls everywhere. And you're like, this is dreamy. Like, I
can't be
in
a place like that.
I went to BuzzFeed and Dropbox like everything was just like, everything everywhere. But we got the same fucking bullshit every day.
So. I know, I did.
And this was at a conference?
Yeah,
Which is crazy, because, like, okay, so I don't know if either of you have been to Big Omaha at all.
I haven't, but, yeah.
So
I never have.
I have friends. It's too expensive for me to go somewhere in town that I know everyone.
But we should. Big Omaha, if you're listening, we'd love to come.
Love the sponsorship. We'll do an ads for you.
We'll eat all your food, talk about it. Anyway.
We've catered the bar for Big Omaha for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And so I've been fortunate enough to get to go, and like, I look at their lunches, and like, they have people like Le Bouillon, Lot 2, Block 16, like, and I'm you go in there and you're like, your options for lunch, Via Farina was one of the places that catered last year. And I'm like, so I can eat all of these, things. And it's all like the best food in Omaha. So that's shocking that like they give you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. I bet it was just seriously just like chickpeas. And I like it, but when you get it, when you're spending that much money to go to this conference, I'm like, I want a fucking like steak or something.
And it's totally aioli on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking mayonnaise.
It's mayonnaise.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of here.
I mean, I love me some aioli, but like, I'm also well aware of the fact that it's just flavored mayonnaise.
Yeah.
It's got its place.
So as we're getting close to the hour,
here we go.
The last question, and I warned Jocelyn about this, but what is it like to be married to the MySpace famous Danny Weiser? How did you land him?
Oh my goodness. So we met on MySpace. Just quick random story. I posted a video of my ex-boyfriend and his friend, and they were making fun of Hawthorne Heights. You guys probably know them. Right. Yeah, familiar. And so he messaged me on MySpace, and we started talking, and we're exchanging Hawthorne Heights lyrics back and forth, which, like, admittedly, I had to, like, get on Google. It was probably Yahoo at the time, honestly, because I don't think Google was, like, a big thing back then, but had to, like, look up lyrics so that I could, like, come up with, like, quippy responses. And we just started talking from there. My relationship was not good. Like, we started dating when we were, you know, teenagers. So my previous relationship was kind of on the outs, and I I don't know. Like, he was Danny Weiser from MySpace. Like, I was like, I can't believe this guy's talking to me right now. And I had admired him from afar for,
that was bold.
For a long
that
time.
That was bold, because he knew you had a boyfriend.
Yeah, he did. He that did. He did.
He liked you.
And you know what? Like, he was very, the first time that we hung out, he knew that. And he was very, he was good. He was nice. Like, we just watched a movie and probably made out for a really long time. And then I went home and I broke up with my boyfriend that day.
Bam! Hit the road, Jack!
And you know what? The worst part was that, like, I didn't even, like, I was like, you're really, really cute, but you're really annoying, like, with Danny. Like, I was like, the second that,
I thought,
like,
the same thing about
him. Yeah.
He's very cute, but annoying.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, like, you want to kiss
no,
him?
No, but, like, I actually vaguely remember, like, you, like, when we hung out, like, a few times after I was single, and, like, I said something, and I was like, oh, Danny's texting me, and you're like, that guy's fucking obnoxious, and I was like, yeah, he is. He is, like, he
no,
is.
No, he really is, and he still is.
Yeah.
But I fucking love him to death, though. He's the greatest.
He's hard to, at first, like, when people meet him, they're like, they either think he's, like, a huge asshole, or they think he's incredibly obnoxious, because he's both.
Sure.
But he's also, he's very funny, and he's very sweet, and, yeah, like, I
great
thought,
father,
yeah, he,
great
oh my
husband,
God,
yeah.
He is, I mean, just, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing in my career without him and his support, and, like I said, I have an almost 7-year-old, and he completely took the reins on parenting her and letting me focus on my career.
I had an hour conversation about how he makes her Halloween costumes every
year.
And it was
every
the
year,
cutest
yeah.
thing in the world.
Oh, that's awesome.
And also, she was Winona Ryder's character, Beetlejuice, in the red dress.
Lydia.
In the red dress, and, like, looked exactly like her.
That's
it
awesome.
Was so rad.
You know what? That is worth mentioning, man, because what you do does take a lot of time.
It's a lot of time, yeah.
You're juggling
I'm
all
always
the time.
On. Always. I mean...
Also working with restaurants and bars that are typically...
It's not 9 to
5.
To
whenever. You know,
yeah.
5 to 2 p.m.
So, I mean, like, my office hours, like, I work a 9 to 5, but, like, I never get to turn off. Even
right.
if I'm on vacation, I don't get to fully turn off completely. If I get a phone call, I had texted Brandon. I was like, I'm, like, 5 minutes late dealing with a work emergency right now. Like, ironically, because I'm... coming here to talk about my work, like,
right.
you know, and that's a very common thing for me, and he's been totally supportive of it, and supportive of my dreams, and everything that I want to do professionally. Like, he's definitely, you know, been able to take a step back and help me out wherever is needed, and I can't say enough good things about him. I will say lots of bad things about his old hair, but,
the scene hair, the flat iron.
Yep, flat iron,
yeah.
Like, bleach blonde, like, in the front. Black in the back, like, yeah.
Missy
and I
had that haircut too.
Oh,
it looked good on her.
I had like the short hair with like the spiky in the back. Oh my!
I never go into telling
your
mom too, but like I just remember like Jocelyn and Danny and our whole group of friends. We were like the Sokol Underground rats.
Yeah.
We were just always at shows, like
yeah.
hardcore shows, and just hanging out and like just yeah.
That was all.
I remember
all
seeing
all
a flat
I did
iron
as a teenager.
Laying around.
Yeah,
I didn't have any hair. I thought I was going bald from age like 18.
Really?
Until maybe 27.
No, it was late because I remember you having that conversation with me. And,
yeah. No, I was sure. I was like, I'm going bald, fuck it. I'm
just
going to
shave my head.
That's what I did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I did.
I
remember, how long did I have a buzz?
No, for like a decade.
Yeah, I was just like, nah, I'm not going to fight it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the thin hair guy. Like, I'm just going to get rid of
you
it.
You have lots of hair,
tons of hair. Not going bald at all.
Not
also,
at all.
Another two. I remember like
that's a whole other.
The last Ranch Bowl show was Boys Night Out, and you were there,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember seeing people were like spray painting like "Rest in Peace Ranch Bowl"
yeah.
on the side of the building.
No shit.
Because they were gonna knock
yeah.
it down
yeah.
like, the Walmart out of it. And yeah, vivid memories of us all like hanging out
yeah.
at shows all the time.
I stole some shoes, some bowling shoes.
Hell yeah.
Like, I was like, they only had like 2 pairs of bowling shoes that were like a women's size 6. I have teeny tiny feet. So like, I was like, these are my shoes. I always wore them. Like, I was like, I'm taking them. I still have them.
Oh my God. Yeah. We just came full circle. The first time I ever ate tofu, I threw it up in the Ranch Bowl.
Oh man.
There
That's,
it is.
That, there it is.
There
it is. There
it is. Jocelyn, this has been so much fun.
Yeah.
So glad that you came on the podcast. The mic is yours. Please tell the listeners anything you want to tell them about what you got going on. It's all you.
Oh, geez. On the spot. I don't know if I really have anything. We talked about Valentine's Day, so we'll be doing stuff at all of our locations for Valentine's Day, make it nice and special, nice and fancy, or not fancy if you don't want it to be fancy, but...
Or if you want to drink a big bowl of booze by yourself, yeah, come and hang out.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Get the button. Be the first person to get the button. No one has a button right now, so you could potentially be the first. The first Laka Lonely.
Laka Lonely.
I also want to, like, end
we
it
really
too.
Enjoy puns, by the way. I know. Our company is just full of puns.
I really was planning on jabbing and making fun of Danny, but then coming to the realization of how much of a sweetheart and a great husband and a great father that he is. I love you, Danny. Seriously, forever. We will, yeah, have those memories.
Yeah, you're all right. It's fine.
Danny, I've never met you. You sound great.
You're cool.
Well, that's
we'll show you pictures afterwards.
Yeah.
All right. That concludes this episode of Omaha Talks. I want to thank our guests again. Jocelyn Weiser will put up some links to what's going on with the Maven Group and everything that's involved with that. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend, Omaha.
Bye.